Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jimmy. I'm the Holy Spirit answer man, apparently, so anything you got, you come to me. I hope you're laughing. That's a joke. Okay. Did you just say that's true? Oh, she didn't say that's true. I'm hearing voices up here, too. She's like, that's not true. I thought my wife said, that's true, you do. I was like, wow, I feel pretty good about myself up here. All right. We've been loving the series, The Deep Dive Thursday, learning great stuff. We're going to be talking this morning, as Pastor Jimmy said, about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Before we do that, let's open with a word of prayer. So, Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Open the eyes of our understanding, our hearts, that we'd comprehend your word. And Lord, I thank you there's a word, a general word, but I think there's even a specific word for each of us and things that you want to talk to each and every one of us individually about. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you guys hear me okay? Or is it a little soft? Okay. It feels a little soft to me, but that's me. As we open, I want to share this statement with you. This is from The Foundations of Christian Doctrine by Kevin J. Connor. He was a teacher, professor for years at Portland Bible College. The church there is called Manna House now. And he wrote many, many great books. But this one's from The Foundations of Christian Doctrine. Speaking of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, he writes, "The Holy Spirit is the third divine person of the eternal Godhead, co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent with the Father and the Son. It is his ministry to convict and convert man, as well as to reveal the Son and the Father to the believer. Since the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in all his glorious operations is working through all who believe on the Father through the Son. This is why the present era is known as the age of, or we call it the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We are living in the era of the Holy Spirit right now." And it's kind of cool, as I was preparing this, my sermon last week, and I sent my notes in on, I think it was Thursday afternoon, and then Pastor Jimmy was sharing Deep Dive Thursday, last Thursday, and then he closed with a couple scriptures, and those are the exact two scriptures that I'm opening with. So I felt like that was just good continuity, good confirmation that we, at least Pastor Jimmy and I, are tracking with each other. I don't know about all of you, but we're on the same page, so we got the Holy Ghost. Come on with us, so that's how we roll. All right, in Genesis chapter 1, it's known as the Book of the Beginnings, New Living Translation. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." We see here the very first book, the very first chapter, we have the Holy Spirit presented to us. He is and was and will be. He always was, and he was in the beginning. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, moving through Genesis, let's look at chapter 1. Let's go to verse 26, and it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, to be like us.'" But I want you to notice, isn't it interesting? God doesn't say, "Let me make man in my image to be like me." It doesn't say that, does it? It says, no. "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." Well, this speaks of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son. Was Jesus at the beginning? Well, sure he was. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, there was nothing made that was made." So we do have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Theologian Dr. Dale in the 19th century, he made these following statements. And I think what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to start kind of macro, and we'll work into sort of a micro view. We're talking about the Holy Spirit here at creation, in the life of the believer, and then we're going to work specifically down into the Holy Spirit in you. But it says this, "From eternity to eternity, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God, but not apart from the Son or the Holy Spirit. The Son is God, but not apart from the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, but not apart from the Father and the Son. There is but one God, but in the Godhead there are three persons." This reminded me of a story that that Dr. David Cho shared. He was a pastor in Seoul, South Korea, And he had 750,000 people in his church. I heard estimates upward over 1 million people. And if you think 3 services is a lot, they had 7 services going on a Sunday. And he preached every one of them. He actually ran himself into the ground and had to recover a little bit. But I liked something that Pastor Jimmy shared last week. And I don't remember if it was at church or Deep Dive Thursday, but as the church gets bigger, we also get smaller. This is where small groups come in. And it's been really wonderful having all of our small groups meet on Thursday night. Well, Dr. Cho, he was running small groups, and he felt in his church that the ladies were being underutilized. So he said, I want you women to start some small groups. And they lived in these high-rise buildings, and they would ride elevators up and down all day long inviting people to church. If you got on the elevator, you were being evangelized. Matter of fact, I think as Dr. Cho shared, he said, they would come on the elevators and the ladies would say, welcome to my cell group. This is what we're going to be meeting here and there, and you can come. Well, they didn't have all the great doctrine teaching like Pastor Jamie has been sharing with us. And so they had their small group started. And the first thing they shared was, God has 3 heads. Okay, now. So Dr. Cho got him, okay, let's explain the way of the Lord a little more accurately. And no, there's but one God, but in the Godhead there are 3 persons. Well, this is good teaching and good training for us as we grow and advance and we do our own small groups. Here's a couple thoughts. These are for your notes, fill in the blanks. The Father planned redemption, the Son effected redemption, and the Holy Spirit applies redemption. The Father is eternally the Father. The Son is eternally the Son. The Holy Spirit is eternally the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like in many ways we focus a lot on the Father and the Son, and maybe we don't give as much voice to the Holy Spirit. But you do have to remember this about the Holy Spirit. He won't speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that will he share to you. So the Holy Spirit is always influenced and motivated by what he's hearing, okay? But apparently, the Father wants us to talk about the Holy Spirit because that's what's on the menu. It's that day to day. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are known as the Trinity. We also see the Trinity in the baptismal formula. We'll have how many baptisms are we having later today? Do we know? We have a couple baptisms, and we see this now when Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth. He was commissioning his disciples, and in this verse I'm going to share, he's actually talking to 11 of them. Judas was not there. He tells the 11, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. This is known as the Great Commission. And Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. And lo, I'm with you even to, no? Right, that just doesn't even sound right. That would be strange, wouldn't it? I'm just baptizing. And if Pastor Jimmy got up and he says, all right, we're baptizing, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Right, it doesn't even sound right. Well, the Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son. Even Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. In John chapter 3, it says this, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Did you know that unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Is there anybody in here? Craig, thank you so much. Is there anybody in here who can go into their mother's womb a second time and be born? Or wants to? I mean, Nicodemus is a natural guy. He's asking natural questions. I don't get it. The whole thing, Jesus, I'm with you. I was with you until that point, right there. Well, Jesus answered, well, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Look, you are here in the flesh. Who are your parents? You have earthly parents. You have natural parents. You have biological parents. But he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And I don't have verse 7, but I believe it says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, Romans 8, 9 says this, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living where? In you. The very one that we read about in the beginning. What did I read? Did I go to John? Genesis 1 starts like that, and John starts like that, yeah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. If you are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. That's good news. That's amazing news. And watch, this is in parentheses. This is the NLT version. It says, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Well, that could be a challenging, tough word, or that's a good word saying there is an invitation to you if you have not invited Jesus to come live in you by his Spirit. You must be born again. Pastor Dan Gebhardt, he spoke a few weeks ago, and he made a joke. He said, it's my birthday today, and I'm 40-something years old. And we all kind of chuckled because he has the same haircut as I do. He's missing a few on top. But he made the point that it's his spiritual birthday. You know, you have a natural birthday, but I got born again at the age of 23 years old when somebody left a New Testament on my doorstep. I went into my bedroom. I hunkered down for about a week. I read through the entire New Testament. I emerged from my bedroom saying, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And my roommate was there, Tasha. And her boyfriend, I guess I don't need to share names, but her boyfriend says, yeah, didn't you know? I said, I never knew. But we read the word and have a revelation, and then I was spiritually born again. That was actually, Bible actually says, as newborn babes in Christ, sincerely desire the pure milk of the word that you can grow thereby. So you might be 40 years old, but you're a babe, you just got born again. And that's a good thing. That's not a critique. That's amazing. That's good news. You're a newborn babe in Christ. So the new birth is brought about by the Holy Spirit, being born of the Spirit. And also, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell the believer's spirit. That's good news. John 14, verse 15 through 18 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I like this expression that Pastor Jimmy brought out. Pastor Jimmy, I don't even know if you remember when it was. It was a couple months ago, but I like how he shared. It's not like, if you love me, keep my commandments, boo-hoo, this is a snooze fest. I'm super bummed on this. No, you will have a desire. If you love me, there's a desire to keep his commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. There's another title for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for watch this, he dwells with you and will be where? He will be in you. Then Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Well, how is Jesus going to come to us? He comes to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. I've always, when I first was studying, I was doing some Bible studies when I was 23. I guess I'm 48 now, if my math is right. It was 25, over half a lifetime ago. And I started reading and learning about the Holy Spirit. And one of the titles of the Holy Spirit that always stuck with me and I always appreciated, he's called the Spirit of Christ. In 1 Peter 1:11, it says, they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. Well, Jesus is coming to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. In John 16, verse 7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Matter of fact, their sorrow was filling their heart. They were sad to hear that Jesus was leaving them. But he said, no, it's actually to your benefit. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Look, if I stay here, he won't come. But if I go, he's going to come. I'm going to give you another helper. Now watch this in your notes. This is important. You'll fill in the blank here. The Spirit came to be personally in them what Jesus was personally to them. I mean, how amazing would that have been to walk with Jesus and sitting down to eat some food, and there's a couple loaves of bread and a few fishes, and then there's a couple thousand people. Actually, that's just the men, not to number the women and children. And then they start blessing the food, and there's going around, and the fish and the loaves are multiplying, and just being with Jesus. But guys, we are in the age or the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was with them. The Holy Spirit is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I think one takeaway from this sermon would be to become a little more aware of the one that is living within us. The word here, helper, it's a Greek word, and I'm sure many of you have heard this, parakletos. It means called alongside to assist. Isn't it wonderful that you have someone called alongside? Matter of fact, Jesus said he will be with you and in you. Right, he's in you, but he's with you. Everywhere present, all times. He is omnipresent. He is with us and in us. The word parakletos means called alongside to assist. It means comforter, encourager. We have an encourager. We have a counselor, a mediator. And we have the Holy Spirit available to us. I think something that would be good for us to kind of get into burn through our synapses a little bit, just to kind of get into the mode of, instead of saying, the Holy Spirit, what is it? That's incorrect. We'd say, the Holy Spirit, who is he? We have another helper. We have a comforter. I wonder if you're on your hardest day this next week, because I know that hard days do come. Wait, I have someone with me. Wait a minute, I have a comforter right now. Wait a minute, I have access to a helper. Not only is he with me, he is in me. The Spirit of Christ is living in me. Christ in me, that is a hope of glory right there. And so I would encourage us to become more aware of the one, not it, him, the Holy Spirit. All right. The fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces Christ's likeness and character and fruit in the believer's life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. There's nine fruit listed here. We'll look at these nine fruit. We'll talk about this on Thursday night. I invite you to come to Deep Dive Thursday. We're going to dive deeper into the Holy Spirit, his title, attributes, and we'll even talk about some of the gifts of the Spirit. And there's nine fruit of the Spirit listed here. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such, there is no law. So the first one is love. And we know, we've heard a lot about love. Now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. We have the fruit of joy. Isaiah 61:3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Isn't it wonderful that you can have supernatural joy? It's not natural fruit. It's spiritual. It's supernatural fruit. It's a joy that can supersede and pass any of your circumstances or challenges or obstacles. It's, man, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Even though everything is falling down around me, I have supernatural joy. There's a word in James, I think it's chapter 1, verse 2, that says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And I love something that Pastor Wendell Smith said. He said, I hate that verse. I love Pastor Wendell, man. I got to tell you, and he actually passed away. I think he had blood cancer, bone cancer. And in the midst of that, he wrote a book on healing. I like that guy's faith. He's focusing on Jesus. Well, how are we going to count it all joy when you fall into various trials? Well, we have the fruit of the Spirit. It's supernatural. It's not natural. It's spiritual. It's something the Holy Spirit is producing in us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We have the fruit of peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Don't you just love the Word of God? That's why I just like speaking the Word of God. Like, do we have too many scriptures? I don't know. Do we have enough? Matter of fact, I think in the Old Testament, they would stand for hours upon hours upon hours. And they would just break out scriptures, and they would just read scripture all day long. And it says then, I think the glory of the Lord would enter in, like this smoke, and it says they couldn't stand to minister because of the glory. They were falling out in the Old Testament, just reading through scripture. So it's a good scripture. And so it's the Word of God is living. The Word of God is active. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, sword speaks of words. Well, there's a sword coming at you. Well, we have a bigger sword. We have a sword that's sharper than any other sword. And it's living and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. The Word of God is a discerner of our thoughts and the intents of our heart. So let me speak this word of peace over you. It's an active word. This is what Jesus said. My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's what Jesus said. The fruit of peace. The fruit of peace. I actually remember a story once of a minister and his wife, and she had a stutter, and she stuttered for years, and the word that came to her says, you need the peace of God, and the peace of God came to her, and it healed her stutter. Well, that's amazing. That's amazing testimony about the peace of God. Love, joy, peace, patience. Patience is the quality of forbearance under provocation. So there's other translations that would say long suffering, to suffer long in the midst of a hard season or trial. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, Jen's like, I'm not into that. You need to get into the fruit of the Holy Ghost. I'm ministering to my wife this morning. I brought you all here so I could give my wife a word. No. You guys didn't know that. That's why you're all here. All right. Kindness. That's a good fruit. Just be more kind. Goodness. Or he despised the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Faithfulness. Being more. How many of you could grow in just being more faithful? I got born again at the age of 23, and I don't think I was very well advanced in faithfulness. Or some of the words here for faithfulness means trustworthy or reliable. And I remember when I went to college at 18 years old, it was my first quarter of college. Then I realized, like, I woke up like, wait, I don't have to go to class? This is amazing. College is great. It's a take it or leave it, man. So I didn't do very well, by the way. I think, and I don't mind sharing, but I think I got a D+ in psychology 101. It could have been a D-. I don't know that. Who takes a psychology class at 7 a.m.? First of all, not a morning guy. Let's go in and learn about, I don't even know what they learned about. I wasn't there. I couldn't tell you. I'm like, you know what they were learning about? I totally got caught on that. Yeah, I go learning about, I don't know. I wasn't there. Anthropology. I forgot where I'm going with this. There's something about being faithful. I wasn't faithful. Yeah, well, then you go on academic probation, and then they put the fear of academic probation on you. You learned it. But it wasn't any fruit of the Holy Spirit that was growing in me, not that type of faithfulness. Proverbs 26 says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Well, we can grow in faithfulness. We have that opportunity. The Holy Spirit is producing that in us, the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, gentleness. I like something in Matthew chapter 12, verse 20. It says about Jesus, a bruised reed he will not break. He's not a breaker. He's not going to come and break you. And you could be visiting for the first time and you come in a little fragile. I've come into service a little fragile before, man. I just need some help, man. Well, Jesus isn't going to come in and break you down. And I think as believers, Christ in us, well, we're growing in gentleness too. We're not called to be harsh or brutal or mean, but as believers, we're gentle. and finally, self-control. And how many of you, like me, could just use just overall, like, yeah, we just need to grow in self-control. Yeah. I don't even need to teach that. You guys know what that one is. Now, this is interesting because when I looked at the verse, and I had this kind of in the back of my mind, I'm sure I heard it somewhere, that it's not fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit of the Spirit. And I was very curious about that. I didn't know really what was to that. So when I was studying this past week, and I just pulled up Galatians 5:22 Bible Gateway. I use that, and it says, see it in other translations. I clicked the button. Over 50 translations pop up, and I just kind of started counting. How many times is it fruit or fruits? Well, it was over 50 times. I lost track over 50. I figured when I got to 50, like, that's enough. It's fruit. And there was no fruits listed. So I thought, I wonder if there's something to that. Well, for my interpretation is that there's an interconnectedness here with the fruit. Not like when the Holy Spirit shows up, like, you're going to get joy and you're going to get peace, but you don't get faithfulness. And you're going to be good and kind, but the joy of the Lord is not going to be your strength today. That's not what you get for. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he's producing all the fruit in our life. Now, fruit, it does grow. And it does take time to cultivate that through challenges. Those fruit will grow. But he's not just going to leave you hanging with you get a couple, but you're missing out on a few. No, he's bringing all that fruit. Matter of fact, I think when Jesus comes to live in you by his Holy Spirit, I think you are becoming more loving and more joyful and more peaceful and more good and more. I think all the fruit does begin to show up in the life of a believer. And it has the opportunity to, that's for sure. And then he closes that verse. It says, but against such, there is no law. And I was always very curious, what does that mean, against such, there is no law? I've read a lot on it, probably too much about it. But I like what Donald K. Campbell, I like to try to boil things down, just trying to distill like some of the simplest thought of that. And I like what Donald K. Campbell said. Obviously, no one would make laws against people who practice such things. I like that. I remember once I was thinking about this another time when I was riding in the car with Jennifer, and she just looked over at me, and I was kind of struggling with the thought, against such there is no law. And she goes, man, she goes, the law is for the lawless. I'm like, that. She made it so clear and so simple. I really appreciated that. And I told Jen, I said, I'm going to share that. You shared that with me, and I just, that's always meant something to me. And she goes, I didn't even come up with that. I said, well, who came up with that? She goes, I can't remember. I said, well, I'm attributing it to you then. You get full credit today. The law is for the lawlessness, according to Jennifer Luft. There's no law against us because we walk in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to key in here on that first fruit mentioned, love. Now, there's a Greek word for love called eros. E-R-O-S. E-R-O would be probably the, what's the first part of a word? The root, yes. Like probably eros, probably the root of erotic, sensual, romantic, or passionate love. That's a Greek word, and the New Testament is written in Greek. But that Greek word eros, you will not find that in the New Testament. You will find the word phileo, like brotherly love, like dab me up, baby, love you, bring it in, brother, nice and close, love you, man. But then there's another Greek word for love, agape. And that agape speaks of the love of God. In 1 John 4:16, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is, you know, God is love. He is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Now, what I want to do for us, I'm going to take that Greek word agape. I want to plug it into that verse. Just read that in there. I think it'll help you see something. And we have known and believed the agape that God has for us. God is agape, and he who abides in agape abides in God, and God in him. Well, where do we get this? What is the greatest commandment of all? Agape, God. The second greatest commandment is like unto it, love your neighbor. That's agape. But this is a God kind of love. This isn't natural human love. This is the God kind of love. God is agape. So Romans 5:5 says this, now hope, we're still speaking about the Holy Spirit. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God, the agape of God, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Do you remember that the Holy Spirit is both with us and in us? What is he doing in us? He is taking the love of God, the agape of God, and he's, some translations say the love of God is poured out in your heart. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is taking the very love of God. I want to be careful here, but the very nature of God, that God is love, and he's taking that God kind of love, and he's pouring it into our heart. I think that's amazing. It's not a natural human kind of love. A natural love is, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do something good for me, I'll do something good for you. You're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. If you slash me, man, I'm going to cut. I'm going to get nasty. And that's not even natural human love. Natural love can kind of be like that. What's the God kind of love? Somebody hits you on the right cheek, you're going to turn and hit me on the other side. Well, you guys got to help me with this verse. I came up against it service. Thank you. If somebody wants your tunic, you give them your tunic also? Oh, there it is. If they want your cloak. I was like, man, okay. Somebody wants to go with you 1 mile, you go with them too. That's the love of God, right? Yeah. That's the love of God. Where do we get this love? It's by the Holy Spirit, ministering it to our heart. Now, Ephesians 3 says this, still talking about the Holy Spirit and the love of God. There's a couple really amazing prayers in the book of Ephesians. I encourage you to look them up. In Ephesians chapter 1, the first prayer, Paul actually prays these for the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians 1, I think it's at verse 17, he prays for them that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened and that you would know what's the hope of his calling. This is a powerful prayer. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. Matter of fact, it's like what Jesus, the word revelation means to take off the cover. Jesus goes, who does everybody say that I am? And Peter goes, you are the Christ. You are the Son of living God. He goes, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So you can pray for revelation. Like you come in like, I don't know anything about God. Well, I pray that you'd have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. He prays that in Ephesians 1. Then Ephesians 3, he prays this for the church at Ephesus. And he says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't think this is just chatter. I mean, I think he's on his knees. He's actually on his knees praying for them. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. How many of you need some inner strength? I mean, I think pumping iron is cool. I think if you guys want to work on your pecs and the biceps and everything that you want to do, I think that's great. Yeah, you can do dumbbells and all that stuff. And some of us do need some inner strength. And you can pray that. Strengthen me with might, Lord, by your spirit. Where? Where is he at? In your inner man, right? He lives in us, in your inner man. That Christ may dwell where? In your heart. How is he doing that? By the spirit of Christ. We talked about that. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, agape, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length. What is that? Width, the length, the depth, to height, the height, to know the love of Christ, the agape of God. God is love. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. I would like to give you permission to just pray that for yourself. I have prayed probably these prayers in Ephesians more than any other prayer I've ever prayed. And I've prayed thus, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen me with might by your spirit in my inner man. Well, let me model it for you. That's how you would pray. Lord, strengthen me with might by my spirit in my inner man. Lord, I thank you that you dwell in my heart through faith. God, I pray that I would be rooted and grounded in love, agape. I pray, Lord, that I would comprehend with all the saints, that's your brothers and sisters in the Lord, that I would know what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, that I would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and that I would be filled with all the fullness of God. These are powerful, effective prayers that you can pray. Then I think as you start growing in love, you begin, and you kind of turn it around and say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you would be rooted and grounded in love. I'm praying that you would comprehend with all the saints and you would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Now, what I want to do, it says, you know, we want to be rooted and grounded in love, but I like to put some handles on things, like just, hey, you need to be more loving. Well, what does this agape look like? What if we can put some handles on this love? It says this in 1 Corinthians 13 is one of those verses that I think you got to memorize. This is a memorizer. This is the one I would commission you to memorize. Love, which is agape, suffers long and is kind. Doesn't envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. And I like this one here. It says, thinks no evil. The NIV version on this part right here says, it keeps no records of wrongs. I think that's a good challenge for us. Have we kept a record somewhere about some wrongs that have been done to us? That's natural human love. That's not agape. Agape would look past an offense. Do you have any lists? Maybe even, you might even actually have a list. You've written some names down. Or you might have we write lists on our heart though too, don't we? I remember that person said that. I remember that person did that. I'm just going to carry that around. What is it Pastor Jimmy shared? Bitterness is like drinking a cup of poison and hoping it's going to affect someone else. Well, love, the God kind of love, the kind of love that the Holy Spirit is pouring out in our heart, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. What kind of love never fails? It's the agape love. God is love. It's the God kind of love. It's the kind of love in our lives, and we invited the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. He's producing good fruit in our life, and he's pouring out the love of God abroad in our heart. At the beginning of this year, Pastor Jimmy shared the vision that he received from the Lord for our church. And that word is unity. Matter of fact, why are we meeting all together on Thursday night? We have the youth here, and we have the college, and we have the adult. We have everybody's here. Well, that's about building unity in our house. John 13 says this, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What is the Holy Spirit doing in our lives? He's pouring out the love of God in our lives, and he's leading us into unity with one another and in our house so that the whole world will know that we are his disciples. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand right now.